You finished 11:05. That was the record ever. So we're trying to
bring more fellowship into the church and interact with one another and hang out and have lunch and Bible study and triads and discipling time. So it's all good. Great to see Chris and the whole family here, almost the whole family. Welcome back from Lansing. Yeah? All right, very cool. Let's go ahead and pray at this time. We need to pray for the students at exam week in Cornerstone, right? And soon in Calvin. And a special prayer, we need to pray for Ron and the whole Markham family. And so let's go ahead and pray at this time. Lord, we come before you as we sang today, humble ourselves at the sight of the Lord. And God, that's one of the hardest things to do. To become like a little child so we can enter God's kingdom. Father, we come before you, Lord, and a special prayer goes out for Ron, and God, it's great to have him back at home, the family. But Lord, there are some complications, and Lord, we commit all that before you. It's your body, Lord. It's the temple of God. You build it up. We all have that, Lord. We have got hands and legs and intestines and tummy and all that, and God, you know exactly where the blockage is and the blood clots, and I pray that the clots will be relieved and released, and it'll be smooth flowing, and Ron be able to jog again. God, we have a special prayer for all the students. Bless the Cornerstone students as they strive to work hard with all their heart to bring you glory. God, be with Cornerstone and Calvin and KZU and Kalamazoo College and all the students over there. And God, everyone in this room, Lord, that if there's a particular need in our heart, that the need will be met, that we will go to you, that we will love you and love you alone. Because you're only God. There's no man in this world can meet all our needs, but only you. Father, it's great to sing, great to fellowship, great to greet one another. Lord, help us to commune with you today. Help us to open our heart and our mind as the Word of God be flushed through our heart and our body. Change our hearts. Help us to be close to you. Love you. In His name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the book. I hope you're loving this book and having some good reading and discussion. Before that, I have a few pictures I want to show for my trip. Oops, it was already off. Okay, on my left, these are a couple of guys. Mohan and the guy who don't have hair. He's the one who did our wedding almost 27 years ago. That's our family group, Mohan and Rubik. He's from Iran. They're disciples and friends from buddies for 31 years. I just found out Rubik became an elder in the church in London. They got 6 elders there. But back in the day when I sit with in the family group, and he used to have a laundromat and had his own business, and you would never actually think that God can raise up somebody like that. Seriously, that was my lack of faith. But Rubik is so fired up. He and Fiona, the kids are doing incredibly well in different ministries. But Rubik is a fireball, okay? He may be 5 foot. He's only 5 foot. There was another picture, but I don't want to embarrass him, but just having a great time. The one over here is I went for the our mission support in India. All the brothers used that hall and premises. You see that in the background? Our support from Michigan is going for that retreat. Okay? That hall for 1 day retreat is 20,000 rupees, approximately $300. Isn't that amazing? That can be done a lot. And we had 200 men and all the boys. We had a boys and teens to play soccer. It was really good. The score was 0-0. It was very humbling for the dads, but the dad said, well, you know this guy, Korean Thomas, the guy right here, he's a professional state soccer player. He's almost 50. But he said, we need to have a shootout. Now, if you played soccer, the shootout, 5-on-5, and of course, he's one of the top goalkeepers in the state. So they took the cup. I mean, they won, they beat up the boys. But I made an announcement later on in my message, we're all equal, amen? So don't get your head. All right, that's my nephew, Dr. Joe, in Philadelphia. He finally, after 33 years later, he said, I do. And that's my sister in the back. So we had a great family wedding there. And finally, that's the band at the conference. They had at least 10 people on the stage with 6 instruments. And I don't know if you've seen the two boys at the back. You know, they have that, what they call it. Everybody was playing. They were making music. They're not song people, but they want to contribute. They want to give their heart. And that's what God, that's what Paul talked in the book of Ephesians. Make music from your heart, not from the instrument, but from the heart. Are you with me? And so that's why God's looking at the heart, and you don't need to be a professional to be excited and giving. So I had a couple of videos, but it didn't come out so well, but they're just praising God in an amazing way. So a few pictures from my trip, hang out, okay? 2 talking points today, love God only, and secondly, discipline about money. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 13. Hope everybody had a good week. Enjoyed the sun. Did you enjoy the sun or what?
Yes.
This week I'm going to wear shorts and t-shirt. So I'm going to Calvin in shorts and t-shirt. I'm excited about it because it's going to be 70. And hopefully there won't be snow at the end of the week. Point number one, love God only. Chapter 13, verse 1. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you. Remember in Deuteronomy 8? Remember that scripture? God's testing your heart to see what's in your heart. To see, God allows certain testings in your life to see whether you can obey God still. Period. So if you're wondering why there are testings from God, it is from God, by the way. It's not from your dad, mom, boss, and all that. It's from God. G-O-D. Take it or leave it. Everything in life is a test. Every struggle is a test. Our work schedule is a test. And in this case, prophet, dreamers, come, follow me, follow another God. God says, hold it. He's testing you. To find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That dreamer or prophet must be put to death. Wow. That's God's heart. Back in the day, in the Old Testament. Because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. God is saying, listen, the prophet or the dreamer didn't save you. He didn't rescue you. He didn't bring you out of bondage. No man can ever do that. But if you think a man can do it, then that's a test for you. No man in this world, you know, many people have counseled me and studied the Word of God with me, but they cannot rescue me. They're just messengers. They just carry the Word of God. And it's very, very important, church, that we guard our heart from preachers or people who claim to be God. Or let's follow other gods. One of our dear friends in Chicago recently, I won't go into so details, but they got deceived by somebody from another state. And they totally, I don't know, I mean, I need to talk to this couple. I talked to him a little bit. But they left everything and followed a dreamer, and they got all rebaptized again because they thought they were missing something. What did the Bible say? You got to go back to the Bible. You got to go back to the Word of God. Everything what God allows for you in your life is a test to see whether you'll obey God or not. Maybe the test is coming. Maybe you're not obeying. Maybe you're taking a break from reading the Bible and praying and fellowshipping and coming out of church or loving one another. Maybe lack of forgiveness. Maybe there's some part of your life you're not obeying. And so here comes the test. Are you going to love me or not? Let's continue. If your very own brother... All right, put your seatbelts on. You ready? If your very own brother or your son or your daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly, that's Satan, deceitful, deceiver, entices you saying, let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far from one end of the land to the other, do not yield to him or listen to him. Show him no pity. Don't be sentimental. I didn't say it. God said it. I'm just reading it. Do not spare him or shield him. You must certainly put him to death. Your hand must be the first in putting him to death. Mercy. That's a hard one to practice back in the day. Stone him to death. Because he tried to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Again, God goes back and makes the same point. Nobody in this world is going to rescue you and help you except me. He goes on, then all Israel will hear and be afraid. No one among you will do such an evil thing. You know, turn with me to Matthew. All right, Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus makes the same point in Matthew 12. We're going to look at 46 to 50. In verse 46, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, why didn't you tell them to wait? He didn't have this big explanations why he was doing a Bible talk or Bible study. But he just went straight to the point. That's the Son of God, very, very direct. And a lot of times answering our questions. So God is saying, don't beat around the bush right here. Here it is. Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You know, this is one of the hardest teachings in the Bible. That you can only love God, number one, and nobody else. Now you might think, you know, that doesn't make sense to me, and it's not reasonable, and he's trying to divide families, or he's trying to create a rift, or no, that's not the point. He's just trying to say, "I died for you. I died for you. I am going to die for you." Well, he said all that. There's no one in this world is going to give their life for you. They should. We should love one another and give our life to one another. When the rubber meets the road, are we really going to do that? And we will try to love one another. We'll continue to talk about that. But here in this passage, we're talking about right now in Deuteronomy. Don't let a family member sway your faith in God. If you got an attitude, don't have it with me, take it up with the Lord. "God, you're being so strict, you're being so hardline, and like, man, why are you doing that?" God says he's a jealous God. He wants your whole heart, every bit of it. Your whole heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, everything you got. 100%. "As I died for you, are you willing to do the same thing?" And so you'll be tested. Okay? Spouses will be tested. We'll talk more about that at the workshop. Singles, you'll be tested. Campus, you'll be tested. Everyone in this room will be tested. Not saying don't love, but love me more. You know, if you look to Luke 14, "Love me more. Love one another, but love God even more. Do for me more. I want your whole body, your whole life, everything you got." You know, I see people working hard, one job, two jobs, three jobs, spending their time, their energy, their money, their travel, the whole day. I used to do that. At one point, I had three jobs. Because I'm running after that money to pay that one bill, which I shouldn't have done it in the first place. Well, made a bad choice. And so, I'm paying the consequence for that. Is that going to be a challenge for you today, tomorrow, next week, next year, in 10 years? "I can't wait to have that baby." Go for it. Have a couple. Have twins. Have grandchildren. Just amen. I love God more. Because God gives everything. I love Cornerstone. God gave it. But I'm going to love God more than Cornerstone University. I'm going to love God more than Michigan or U.S. or in this world. Or my wife, my kids. My wife knows that. I know that. My kids know that. And so, don't follow a man. Don't let a man influence your thinking or person in this world and get into your head, tell you what to do. Confirm with God's word. In fact, God's saying that person is preaching rebellion. Don't listen to a rebellious person. Listen to God. Amen to that? Amen. Point number two. How's everybody feeling? Kind of quiet in this room. We're going to talk about in Deuteronomy 15. And if you have a title for the paragraph, it talks about the year for canceling debt. So let's talk a little bit about that, what our real debt is. Okay? Chapter 15, verse 1. "At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan is married to his fellow Israelites, he shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commandments I'm giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. And he goes on and talks about loving and loving the poor and not being tight-fisted, not being hard-hearted. Goes on the rest of the paragraph, take care of one another. And so when I look at this passage, it talks about how we got to love God in a very deep way, but not let debts hold you back. We all have debts, maybe. I don't know if you're debt-free. Hey, you should teach a class one day. Come and talk to me if you're debt-free. But sometimes as life goes on, needs come up and debts come. And I shared some of my stories in the past and cleared some debt, and I picked up some along the way and cleared my auto loan, which is very exciting, and through an accident, a couple accidents, and bad became good, and it's all good. But I have some more debts to clear up, and this is the year. I've been saying for the last 3 years, right? I'm sure you heard about it. Oh, there he goes again. Yeah, I'm going again. I'm going to go tackle this, like, head on. That's one of my prayer goals. What does God really want us to do? In Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Did you know that money has a way to stop you from loving one another? Because we think we are consumed about how to that money in our head. I know. Pam and I talk about it every month.
How's that debt status going on?
We talk about it.
Budgeting, and we got to cut down and all that. It consumes our time, our energy.
But God said, let no debt remain outstanding. Deal with it. Work at it. Be open. Get help. Pray. Do whatever it takes. So we can love. What if everyone in this room has no debt at all? Zero! Wouldn't that be incredible? Debt-free church. I'll put on the website. I'll give a whatever. What do you think about that? Amazing, right? It's going to take everybody. What's the point of one couple like, yeah. Hey, we are a family. We need to help each other out. If you're successful, come and talk to me. You can do a class. We'll have a financial Sunday. We did that in the past, a few years ago. But we got to work at it. We got to help each other. I appreciate the weekends really going after that the last few years. Getting help from the Georges and the Markhams are really getting it down. I appreciate their heart. God's blessing them. Everybody needs to be open, get help, take advice, put it on paper, think about it. You got to deal with it. Why? The more we get the money out of the way, we can think about each other. We can think about people. What do you guys think about that? Is that burdening? Or is that encouraging? It's encouraging, right? But it's going to take putting hope in the Lord. Isaiah 40, we talked about, is soaring. It starts in the mind, right? I am going to clear debts in our head. I got this much, 10,000, 15, 20,000. I'm going to bring it down, bring it down. I'm going to bring it down every year, 1,000, 2,000. I'm going to knock it off. The more and more you do it, the more you can be free. I'm paying extra into my mortgage so I can quickly clear it. Extra. I want to do more. The more I clear the debts, that money, I've cleared the debts, I'm going to put it for mortgage. I want to clear it. I want to free and clear. Amen to that? Chris's mom knows that. She's doing real estate. She knows that. You want to clear. You want to clear our debts. Amen to that? We're going to close it up with these 2 points. And in conclusion, as we take the bread and the wine, let us check our hearts. Let us think about our own heart. Are we loving God more than any human being on this earth? That your heart's more tuned in with God and God alone, and no person, no human being on this earth, not even your boss or employee, a co-worker, has influencing you in the wrong way or swaying your faith. And if there's stuff in your heart, maybe people are putting wrong stuff, then talk about it. Get help. Pray about it. Be clear. Because He's the only one who died for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for this hour. Thank you for being our God and only God, because you are a jealous God. God, you made every human being on this earth, now close to over 7 billion people on this earth. You care for every soul, every human being. You search the streets for people to love you and follow you. As Jeremiah talks about, you go through, you are looking down from heaven into the earth, every street, and looking for people down on Michigan Avenue or Beltline, those who really seek you with 100%. But God, you also see people who are distracted and influenced by wrong relationships. Father, I pray that we can be open about people who are influencing us in the wrong way. God, help us to change. Help us be different. Help us, God, to share that love with other people who you have given us your love to us. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we got some money in our pockets. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will go after our debt. We'll be 100%. We'll get open and get help and be accountable and hold each other accountable, Father, for renewed strength. Let no debt remain except loving one another. In John 15, you said, Lord, to love one another as I loved you. Father, help us to have Jesus' kind of love. As we take the bread and the wine, help us remember His love on the cross for each one of us. We love you so much. Help us to have an incredible day, incredible weekend. Guard our hearts and our minds. We proclaim you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.